Today, we'll continue with our Cuba story, but we're going to start with a little side note on what happened in New York City last night. Let's listen.
I'm super curious to hear.
Hey, this is Franco, and it's not quite tropical paradise. I'm in the tropical rainstorm in New York City, and it looks like the big concert on the lawn got canceled tonight. But we're all having a good time by all, and here's a beautiful young couple who just left the show. And your names?
I'm Jessica.
Sam.
Sam, and where are you guys from?
We live in the city.
New York City.
Well, tell me about your experience tonight at the show.
We showed up an hour late. Concert started at 5, we showed up at 6. We were still in line for an hour and 45 minutes. We finally get past the vaccine check, and they tell us the whole thing's canceled.
So, what was your next move? That was hours ago.
We got deep lost in Central Park.
So we came in on the east side, we wanted to get west. So we just started walking through the park, and it got darker and wetter.
Yeah, and the storm definitely hit.
Here comes a famous New York subway train. We're down in the subway station right now. It's the only place that's warm and not raining in the entire city. And train gets rolling all night long. Okay, and we're back to live action.
So we spent 45 minutes lost in Central Park, soaking rain.
I thought New Yorkers knew how to get around Central Park.
No, we know how to get around city blocks. Left, right, perfect square.
Uh-huh.
We got widening paths with no lights and no street signs. We were fucking lost. We're city people. We don't know how to deal with the forest.
I gotcha. Yeah, you were watching
the
woods.
And it was like a group of 8 drunken high people. So
no,
no one
Central
knows
Park?
What they're doing. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we stopped...
We got lit before we entered the concert. Luckily, there were many vendors with nutcrackers, and we had mini seltzers and mini joints with us. So in that hour and a half span of waiting in line, we got definitely super lit. So by the time we were in Central Park in the midst of the storm, I mean, we were already feeling good.
It was magical.
Oh, yeah, but you're still in a good time, right?
It was amazing. Three of us huddled underneath an umbrella, just smoking a bowl. And then we got lost from everybody else. We had to, yell through the park.
Yeah.
It was definitely a historic evening, like we all thought it would be, but we didn't imagine it'd be like this. I have Paul Karen over here to my left. Paul, what do you say?
Well, did you try to go back for, the whole, maybe it's still back on, Anderson?
Yeah,
Cooper, right?
Because they told us it was paused.
It's not canceled.
Yeah, so.
I think CNN was getting their money's worth because they had... They had the air all the way to 10 o'clock.
That's what I think.
I mean, we didn't get to have it. We heard 30 seconds of Journey, and that was it.
That was it. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. That's like the band I least wanted to hear was Journey.
Oh, my God.
Now, you're quite a bit younger than me, and I actually came to see Paul Simon.
I love Paul Simon.
Oh, dude, yeah, he's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know the history, but in the 70s, Simon & Garfunkel did a concert in the park, and it was a very historic day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hey, what do we got going here?
We got another New York City train.
There she's going. Look, there she comes. Look, there she goes. Look, there she comes. Whoa. Give me a fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Give me a fuck yeah.
It's not really a neighborhood, you know?
And yet another train passes. Holy shit, was that the train we were supposed to? Oh, no, we're right back.
No, we're all right.
That's where I live now. Okay, hold on here. We're out.
It's just, the neighborhood is lit up.
No private conversations, folks.
Well, okay. We're talking about... Now, she lives in Chelsea. I lived in Chelsea for, 20 years, and she's asked me why. And I said, I was just done with Chelsea. It's not really a neighborhood. Frank, you've been up to my neighborhood now.
Yeah,
it's life up
Harlem
there.
Harlem is fantastic.
Where are you right now?
Sugar Hill, Harlem.
Yeah. Oh, really nice.
Tell them about Sugar Hill.
Is this an uptown train?
This is downtown.
This is an uptown train.
Oh, wait.
We're on the wrong platform.
See how nice our greatness worked out?
We got to go downtown.
It was so nice meeting you.
You know what? I know. You look like an uptown girl.
But she's living in the downtown world. Living in the downtown world.
Peace. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, make sure you go on the podcast. I'm launching it in the morning.
She's got the code.
Check it out.
Okay, later, baby.
Are you rethinking your life? This is the best time in history to work remotely or retire in paradise. The world's tropical real estate listings are right here. We know the protocol to narrow it down and point you in the right direction. Get the lowdown. Tell us what you're looking for. Via email, our address is printed in the episode notes. From Studio B and from the seat of my pants in beautiful downtown Cabaretti, welcome to Tropical Paradise Waits. I'm Franco. You can find the cost of living, weather information, hotel rates, and airline fares anywhere. But listen here and broaden your expectations. Get the real feel, the human factor, hearts, souls, smells, vibes, state of mind from those who are the lifestyle. You won't know no till you go, go. Tropical Paradise waits for you. What are you waiting for?
Hola, amigos. This is Don Alejandro de la Vega. Welcome to Tropical Paradise Waits. Do you ever dream of living in paradise? Dream no more, my friend. If you are planning on living in the tropics, or if you are a full-on expat, this show is the show for you. Listen and learn how to make the best of your leisure time. It takes more than a plane ticket to fully enjoy the tranquil lifestyle. It is a state of mind. Let's live a better life. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Positive reviews help us rise up the ranks. Please scroll down and click. Support this podcast. Gracias! And enjoy the show!
Today is the fourth Sunday in August 2021, which we are dedicating to the island of Cuba. The first three, we spoke about the tropical nightmare inside Guantanamo Bay. If you haven't listened to those, I suggest you listen to those consecutively, the first three, starting August 1st, which is the first Sunday of August. Now we're going to jump over the wall and talk about the rest of Cuba. I have been so far around this earth that if I continued, I would have been heading back. Cuba is the closest place to the United States that is not connected by land, yet the most different from any place I have ever been. Cuba stands alone. There's no place like Cuba. Now, if you're an American tourist and you have traveled outside the United States, I'm sure you probably have noticed at one point that Americans aren't the most loved people. In fact, most foreigners have been led to believe that Americans can really be difficult. Now, this is based on some truth. We, including myself, we have been conditioned as privileged. We're used to our basic comforts like power, hot water, brand name products, and a fast cup of coffee in the morning. Now, I'm sure these things don't pose much of a problem in other more developed countries, but most of my travels have been in third world and secondary market underdeveloped countries, mostly South Central and Latin America, island tropical places. Now, Latin America, it's all basically the same until it comes to Cuba. Again, man, there is no place like Cuba. Cuba, it's safe, it's very inexpensive, but it comes with a twist. Havana, it's a beautiful, magical place, but it's too bad that it's crumbling down, but it's aging like gracefully. It's still beautiful. International hotels, they're available, and they provide you with everything you're used to. But if you stay any place outside of one of the international hotels, you'll discover that things you take for granted aren't always available. For example, you might go to buy, say, a bottle of water. Then you go back a little while later and you go for a second bottle of water. Not only won't they have it, but they'll respond to you like, why would you think we have water? Now, a lot of times, like at night, say later in the evening, if you decide to go out and get a beer, you might not find one because they simply run out. Now, you go to a few places, you'll eventually find one, but chances are, once you do, it'll be warm. It's the same with food. You won't go hungry, but you might have to eat something that you really didn't want to eat. You'll be reminded what your mother said, and you'll learn to finish everything on your plate. Things are definitely harder to come by or simply not available in Cuba. It can be frustrating, but at first only, because you'll get used to it. Yeah, you'll find yourself taking a lot of deep breaths and counting to 10. And the same thing goes for Cubans, but Cubans, they just live with it and they carry on patiently. Now, after a few days, you learn to be okay with it all. You'll discover that half the shit you thought you couldn't live without, you never needed in the first place. In fact, I had a list of 10 items, and I only found 4. By the following day, I couldn't even remember what the other 6 were. Now, again, if you're staying in a pricey hotel, it's different. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of nice 4- and 5-star hotels to choose from, if that's what you want and that's what you can afford. If you stay in a hotel or a resort, you won't see the real Cuba. Now, you can find sanctuary in the international hotels, you know, such as the Hotel Parque Central or the Manzana Hotel. I go to these places to take a break. You can get a nice meal, use the internet. It's air conditioned, but the rooms are too expensive for me, man. They're way too expensive. But the communal areas are nice. You can go ahead and use those, but you can't just go rolling in there. You got to put a nice shirt on and act accordingly. They offer nice services and reasonably priced meals and food that you're more used to. Like, you know, like a nice cheeseburger and things like that. It's a better quality food. And it's really not overpriced. Like I said, it's about what you're used to, what you normally pay. Outside the hotel, you pay practically nothing for food. Now, I suggest staying in a fair-priced hotel or a resort for the first couple nights that you're there. Then hit the streets and move into a room in a private home. These rooms are known as Casa Particulares. I'll put the website, the CasaParticularCuba.org, I'll put that in the episode notes because that's really the way to go. I probably stayed in 10 or 12 of them, and I enjoyed every one of them. The private homes, they're affordable, and most importantly, this is how you experience real day-to-day life with the real Cuban people. If you look on the internet, you'll read repeatedly about how friendly and wonderful the Cuban people are. Well, yeah, this is true, but only once you get to know them. But they're not overly friendly. As the blogs on the internet suggest, those people are referring to employees who work in hotels and resorts who are providing friendly service. It's their job to be nice. They're trained to be nice. Most Cubans are not the smiley good morning type, but once you even make the smallest contact, you have a new friend. And that's just a cultural thing. It's not like they're nasty, but that's just not part of their culture. And in Havana, the restaurant servers, like, sometimes, man, they're just downright unfriendly. I mean, I find myself thinking that the last time I checked, I was the guy who was on vacation, who had the money. And the waiter should be the one trying to separate me from my money. I mean, in a country where everyone is quick to tell you how underpaid they are, one would figure that gratuities would be a pretty good way to get some extra cash in your pocket. Am I right? Or there I go thinking like a gringo again. It could be because there's so few Americans there. Gratuities are an American custom. Unless the service is awful, I usually tip well. If I plan on returning, especially, and when I return, I generally receive better treatment. The proper protocol for gratuities is a gray area. I really don't know what it is. But, of course, it always helps to be friendly and sharing your money. People seem to like that. In any tourist area, people will try to rip you off. But you need to know the basic cost of things and how the money works. You know, they'll try every trick in the book. In fact, a waiter shortchanged me $5 one time. And here I'm arguing with him. And then I quickly realized there was nothing I could do about it. So you just got to let it ride, let it roll off your back. Hey, this is when those deep breaths come in. However, after a few days, these things settle. And you learn to approach situations differently. So if the prices aren't posted, it's best to know the price of things, the cost of things, before you order food or services. Now, when I was first there, I took this Cuban girl to lunch. And she must have given the waiter some little sign. Well, in fact, she did. I found out later. She gave the waiter a little sign to present a more expensive menu. Well, they didn't get away with it because I knew the basic prices of things. So I just chose to go elsewhere. Just we paid for our drinks, which were overpriced, and then left. But at the time, I didn't realize what had happened yet. Till days later, it dawned on me. And at that point, Jennifer and I, we became better friends, and we were still friends. In fact, I went back at a later date to see her. But we had a little talk about the situation. And like I said, we remain friends to this day. Now, this kind of brings to mind the mindset of the people who are working in the tourist area. Use your common sense. The reason they are there is because you are there. They are there to benefit from your money. You are the economy. And they play the odds. The odds are, you're there for a brief time, and they'll never see you again. So they'll attempt to get whatever you are willing to give them. Some try to deceive you, and others are genuinely nice people and good company, but they expect something in return for any benefit they provide for you. Be cautious, but be considerate. And consider their value to you. Like, they might save you time. And vacation time is very limited and very valuable time. They might help you to get someplace with public transportation for a fraction of the price that you were going to pay on a tourist bus or a taxi or a tourist van. They might take you to good local restaurants or even to their homes. Remember, though, nobody does anything for free. Having said that, Cuba is one of the safest places in the world. Some people may try, but rarely to rip you off or deceive you in some kind of way. But really, rarely will they outright rob you. Now, in the Dominican Republic, I hear of people getting their phones jacked and their pockets picked every day. In Cuba, no. In fact, when I go to the gym, I just set my belongings, my key, my passport, my wallet, whatever I have in my pockets. I just set it on the windowsill, and I go about my business, and nobody will touch it. Now, is this because the people are so honest, or is it because the laws are so strict and there's a strong police presence? I'm not really sure, but the police are everywhere. They're dressed in several different uniforms, different hats. Some have German shepherds wearing muzzles, and none of the comrades, they ever smile, man. It seems that if you follow the rules, they won't bother you. And the rules are simple. Don't blow your nose in public. Keep your shirt on. And don't violate others. It's okay to drink alcohol or smoke on the streets. It's okay to sing or make noise on the streets in public places. So you can feel pretty free. You get a really good sense of freedom when you walk along the Malecón. You might be adventurous and decide to venture out of the tourist area. Now, I do it all the time because usually I visit a family in some little village. I've done this a few times in Cuba and in the Dominican Republic. Now, once you invite into someone's home, they share what little they have with you. If you stay the night, you get the best bed and you get the fan, if they have power and a fan. And there's usually, you know, mosquitoes and roosters crowing all night, stuff like that. I mean, you get an experience, but it's really not the best place to spend a night. It does kind of suck, but it's worth doing to get a feel for how the real people live. Now, that's why, like in the tourist area, that's where the points of interest are, the best restaurants, the music, and all the action. That's why people go there. That's why the airport is close. That's why you spend your money there. You can always look around and find places where the locals go. It all depends on what you're comfortable with and with how much time you have. I stay in places for extended periods of time, so I can poke around. My life is your vacation. Sorry, I couldn't resist that comment. Now, due to the political differences, it's convenient for foreigners visiting Cuba to down-talk the United States and the American people. It makes for easy conversation. It's like trash-talking a Red Sox fan to a Yankees fan. There are some people who rave online about how wonderful the Cuban people are, and they're just patronizing them. Cubans are being fed anti-American propaganda from every direction. This starts us off in a hole. Now, the first time I went, I was advised to put a Canadian flag on my backpack and say I was from Canada. I recall being in Venezuela at one time when the people were really hating on us. But most of the people, they were intrigued by me and they just wanted to know more about me. I was the first American that most of them ever met. They treated me well. Once they get to know you like anybody else and anywhere else, it's all good. I found a similar reaction from the Cubans. The Cubans are proud people, but they aren't exactly a bunch of flag wavers. That's why I'm surprised what's happening now with the civil unrest and the people on the streets. They have to really be in some dire situation because the Cubans, they don't down talk the government. When they do, it's pretty quiet under their breath. But next week will be our final Cuban week, and we'll get back to that next week because things are changing day to day. So that'll be right up to the minute. Now, when I was there during the Obama days, the people, they were celebrating the attempted embargo lift, and they were anticipating change for a better life and a better Cuba. However, since October 2016, when the process was put into action, both the United States and Cuba had major changes in leadership. Now, I like Cuba the way it is. Not only the antique cars, but the antique everything, the architecture. It's beautiful, beautiful cut stone, ornamental iron. Havana is often correctly described as going back in time. But the youth in Cuba, they don't care about the antique cars and all that. They want, and the historical value means nothing to them. They want iPhones, video games. They want a data plan. Now, you know, it's going to change eventually, and I think it's coming sooner or later. So once it's freed up to go visit, I really strongly suggest going as soon as you can because you want to see the old Cuba. It's been frozen in time for over 60 years. Now, one day, the people in Cuba, they'll miss the old Cuba. I strongly advise to go, like, I'm going back as soon as I can. I think it's probably going to be, who knows, man, another 6-8 months, maybe another year before the flights resume and it goes back to normalcy. Now, the Casa Particulares, which I spoke about earlier, they're the rooms that you rent in people's houses. Cuba is the original homestay country, with hosts opening their homes to tourists years before the incarnation of sites such as Airbnb. Now, this is partly due to the shortage of hotels in Cuba. The government allowed the citizens to rent their homes privately since 1997. Staying with a family remains one of the best and the cheapest ways to see Cuba and sample its food, customs, and get to know the people. Now, if you're visiting Cuba for your first time, obviously Havana would be the place to start. Say you're on a cruise ship or something and your time is limited, you can get a pretty good feel for Havana in a day. Now, the first thing is to find Parque Central, which you'll find really easily. Then from there, you can walk to a lot of places of interest. There's a Sloppy Joe's down there in the corner, which is similar to the Sloppy Joe's that's in Key West. That's a tourist trap. You can skip that. Same with the famous Floridito Bar, which is the place that Hemingway hung around. You know, stand in front of the sign, get your picture taken, pop your head in, but you can pretty much skip by that too. Now, catty corner from the Floridito Bar, there's a small place called Wanda's. Stop in Wanda's and see if my friend Ross is still running it. He's an Italian-Cuban from Toronto. He speaks English, and if he's not too busy, he'll answer some questions for you and point you in the right direction. So you're looking for cigars or something on the black market. He can kind of guide you through that process. It's a little risky, but not really. Everybody buys everything through the black market, so that's the place if you want to get some good Cuban cigars. There's also some fantastic Cuban rums. They taste just like candy. Then take a walk around the corner and you'll see a walking street. It's obvious walking street. There's pavers, and that street's called Obispo. It's very touristy, but it's a nice street and has lots of Cuban music and lots of bars and restaurants, street performers. Take a walk down there, listen to some music, grab a mojito, then make your way eventually back to Parque Central. And a short walk from there, you'll find the Capitol Building, which is designed after the Capitol Building in the United States. Then there's a street with a tile media, and it goes all the way down to the water. It's kind of a long walk, but it's nice. It's called Paseo del Padre, something like that. But you'll find it. It's a really pleasant walk. It takes you all the way down to the Malecón. Now, the Malecón, there's people sitting along there. In the evening, it's a lot of fun. There might be some live music, people partying a little bit. It's real pleasant, and there's always some activity down there. Sometimes when the water's rough, you can't walk it because the water comes over the walls. But that's worthwhile. Now, there's a double-decker bus. Definitely hop on that. You can find that right at Parque Central as well. And it takes you around the whole city. I think it's $5. It's really worth it. You get a look at everything. And then you can, if you have a point of interest, you want to stay, you can get off and you can get back on the bus later, or just make a mental note and return at some other time when you have more time. It's a pretty satisfying experience and you can see Havana in a day. There's also the Hotel Nacional. That's pretty cool. That's one of the places where the bus stops. And before the restrictions, that's where like Humphrey Bogart and Marilyn Monroe stayed. It's really classy, really neat place. The beaches, the beaches, the beaches. The island has 3,570.4 miles of coastline. So that means there's a lot of beaches. The North Shore, the Atlantic beaches, they have the crystal clear turquoise water and white sand that you're looking for. I visited a lot of them, including one where I flew out to a little out island, a little isolated island. But the beaches on the North Coast off Havana are just as nice. They're really nice. There's one that's close that you can take a bus to in about 40 minutes. And that gives you the whole feel for the beaches. And again, that bus goes from Parque Central. Now, a couple hours away is the Veradero Peninsula. That's where all the resorts are. That's the most famous place where people visit in Cuba. Mostly fly in from Canada. There's an airport there and everything. Beautiful beaches, nice resorts. Now, I like to stay on the south part of the peninsula, which is closer to the little town. Because if you're too far in, you can't walk anywhere. If you're on the south part, which is like the top, you can get off the resort if you get tired of sitting around drinking mojitos and stuff. And you can go to a regular restaurant and do some off-resort shopping. And it's just a little bit more to do. There's also Casa Particulares there in town if you want to skip the whole resort thing. But they're inexpensive. Again, the food's not that great, but you have everything you need in those resorts. And they're all right on the beautiful, beautiful white sand, turquoise water beach. Now, I have not yet traveled west of Havana. I've been everywhere else around the island. But if you go up to Havana and you look to your left, to your west, there's like a little area up there that's more country and a lot of fishing villages. I hear it's real nice. I do plan on checking it out one day. Apart from Havana, though, Trinidad de Cuba, that must be the most historic city in Cuba. Like Havana, the Old Town section is listed as a world monument. But unlike Havana, parts of this town are only accessible on foot or horseback. Horse-drawn carts are a really common thing to see. They actually use them for day-to-day life. Again, there's a lot of tourists there, but it's a pretty cool place. The narrow cobbled streets and the low-leaning bright-colored houses are iconic of this city. Trinidad is really going back hundreds of years in time. In the town center, there's live music every night and some of the best salsa dancers that you'll ever see. Now, total opposite of this historic city, there's a high-tech, a super high-tech disco, and it's located in an actual cave. It's really worth seeing. Go early because it gets crowded, but you really want to check that out. Now, the country's second largest city is Santiago de Cuba. That's where Fidel Castro is from. That's also a beautiful city. And it's in the hills, and depending on which way you look, it has a mountain view and a breathtaking view of the port. The streets are like a roller coaster, and the solid buildings, they are built to last. Well, next week, we'll get back to you with some random thoughts and try to close up this Cuba thing on a high note. Hopefully, the activities in the street and the public outcry, hopefully that is settled by next week, and maybe we'll even have some good news. Have you got something to say? Then use your superpowers and download the Anchor FM mobile app, A-N-C-H-O-R. That's our host. Search Tropical Paradise Waits, then tap voice message. Or email me directly, francogringo13@gmail.com. That email address is printed in the episode notes. Smart people listen to podcasts. Tell your friends. We're at the top of Google. Tropical Paradise Waits is presented by Elusive Media. New shows on Sundays. I look forward to hearing you listen. Hasta la semana que viene. Adios. Ten cuidado si feliz. Ciao, baby.
Today's credits are as follows. Thank you to our program director,
Don Alejandro de la Vega.
Our editor and fact checker,
they'll never know.
Our chairperson,
Wilma Butfit.
Fleet managers,
Lisa Carr.
Our charm consultant today is
the always charming Miss Inga Tooth.
Tiki Bar reviews by
Hassan Ben Sober.
Our favorite divorce attorney,
Carmine, not yours.
Our credit counselor is
Max Stout.
And our fashion designer today,
Hugh Jass.
And of course, our download counter,
Adam Ilion.
If you enjoyed the show, help us continue by scrolling down and clicking support for this podcast.